Welcome to Teachers Talking Tech. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
I'm Marie Larson.
And that's right, folks. You heard it here. Mike Brown is back. We had to kick a stipend in, you know, give him some extra money. He went from making 0 cents to making, I don't know. We're still not paying you, sorry.
3 cents
yeah,
a minute.
And some of the things I say make 0 cents, too. So
Mike, well, nice segue.
Yeah, I know. What
that was really good. You must have been perfecting your craft when you were off the podcast last
time. Really used to being insulted by you two, so the insults just come easy.
I can't even believe you'd say that to our listeners. We love you.
That's right.
I heard the last podcast.
All right, well, that's why I will never be absent for a podcast.
Plus, you're the only one who knows how to record it.
Well, that is true, too.
Conveniently.
Well, we are excited today because not only did we get our first phone call or voice memo that we get to listen to, which is super duper exciting, but also we're going to be playing a new game called Boo or Yay. And this is not even for Halloween, which if you're listening outside of the States, I don't even know how to describe Halloween. Like, honestly, when people are like, if an alien came in and said, Halloween, what is that? I'd be like, You dress up and you
eat
candy.
It's the most chaotic day of our lives.
It is the most insane day in
our lives. Yeah, if you're teaching K through 3 and your school does Halloween, it's bananas. But anyway, we're not even doing it for boo or yay for that. In this, I think this is going to be one of, like, in a very controversial episode, Teachers Talking Tech takes on all the big issues.
Yeah,
not really.
Big issues.
Not really.
But we're going to be taking on different things, and we're going to give them a boo or a yay, and then we have to explain our thinking.
And we may not even agree on some of this stuff, which will be interesting.
I can hope we don't.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sitting in the middle of Mike and Marie right now, and I'm going to just be like, fight, 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 fight. That'd be awesome. Right?
Let's plan on doing that.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, cool.
I'll win.
But before we do that, I want you guys to hear, we got a voice memo, which, by the way, if you want to send us a message, we'd love to play it on our podcast, and we'd love to hear from our listeners. This comes all the way from Brazil, and this message is from Heather, and Heather wanted to share a few things about our last podcast about taking time to take brain breaks.
Yeah.
So let's listen to what she has to say.
Hi, my name is Heather. I am leaving this voice message from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. I am a second grade teacher at an American international school down here, and I've been listening to your podcast for a while now, and I just wanted to say thank you for all of the great ideas that you're constantly sharing. Most recently, I really enjoyed listening to the podcast last week about brain breaks and free choice time, and reframing the title for that to UDU time, which is really cool. So I just wanted to call in to share what my kids and I have been doing. I've been doing this the last few years now, and some of you might be familiar with it. You might use it at home already for yourselves. And it's the Calm app on the phone, and you can download it on your computer as well. Calm offers like guided meditation for adults and kids. And if you scroll down to the bottom online, you can register as an educator and you can get the app for free. So that's really cool. And every day after my kids come in from recess, or almost every day, you know, when they're kind of agitated, they're hot, they just need to calm down a little bit, I put on one of the guided meditation episodes for the kids to listen to. And they just find a really comfortable space around the room. They can use a pillow or a book buddy. I also have some yoga mats out, and they just need to find a quiet spot to cool down. And I always tell them, this is the only time I will ever ask you to do absolutely nothing at all. So they lay down, they get comfortable, they close their eyes, or they sit, and it's taken a lot of time and practice, but with time they have learned to really enjoy it. They see it as a time to just relax. Some of them follow the actual guided meditation instructions, and some have fallen asleep actually. So I always find that as a win. Anyway, I just wanted to share that. You can get the app for free if you sign up as an educator, and can use it for yourselves at home. I know I do, for like white noise in the background when I'm trying to go to sleep. Anyway, I hope that's helpful. Thanks again so much for sharing all of your ideas, and talk to you soon.
Well, first of all, thank you to Heather for calling in. Marie was like, the whole time listening to that was like, I think that Heather is my soul sister. Like she...
She's talking about her yoga mats and mm-hmm. calmness and her voice, first of all. I said maybe Heather, her voice should replace my voice on this podcast.
Yeah, Heather, you should have your own soothing. NPR show. Like, yeah, seriously, you have the perfect voice for a podcast. Well, I love that idea, the call map. I know some people in our building have used it. I'm definitely going to try it. And
cool that you can get a teacher subscription.
Yeah. And I know that they have like guided meditations on there and things like that. And sometimes I'll do that, like, you know, where I'll just lead a guided meditation with my kids where I'll say like, hey, imagine you're on a desert island, dip your toes in the water or whatever. But if you don't feel confident doing that, you can, use the Calm app. And I love how she was talking about that. She uses it for herself to like take a breath.
Right. And I like too how she said it's the only time where I'm going to ask you to do nothing. Like that's such a great way to frame that.
It is. It totally is. So thank you, Heather, for calling in. And now it's your turn. We want to hear from more of you. Give us your ideas, some things you're doing, maybe something you liked in our podcast, something you didn't like, whatever. We would love to hear from you. Just record it on voice memos and then share it through email to teacherstalkintech@gmail.com. All right, so this brings us to our game, Boo or Yay. So Maria and Mike have not seen any of these things that I've written down.
Ooh.
And so this is gonna be off the cuff here where they're gonna have to give it a boo or yay.
Round one.
Here we go, round one. Are you guys ready?
Are you giving boos and yays too, Mr. Robinson? Or are
I
you
may.
Just okay.
I might wait for you guys to see what you say.
You will of course give your opinion okay. and talk.
Yeah, I'll just that'd be great. I could just be like, you are both wrong. So the first one is paperless classrooms, boo or yay? Marie?
Ooh.
That's a tough one.
Can I give a meh? Is there a middle ground?
Okay, well, what's your thinking?
I think I'm first of all not a worksheet person.
Right.
Like, so I think if you can use something like more hands-on manipulatives, or you can use maybe technology to make things more creative, I'm very pro that. But I also think kids still need to practice cutting. They still need to practice... I mean, they still need to practice doing things on paper. So
okay.
Is there a middle?
So you're in the middle.
I'll probably be in the middle on everything.
Imagine that.
Come on, man. You can't be a fence rider. That does not make for a good podcast.
I can fence ride on the first one.
Listen, okay, it's my turn. I'm going to give my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
I agree with Marie. I'm in the middle, too. I am a fan of less paper in the classroom.
Yeah.
But I tried to be more of a paperless classroom a few years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago. We got our new devices in the classroom. It's just really difficult at lower elementary. I can see where it would work when you're higher elementary. Mm-hmm. The kids can do a lot more of their work on their devices. They take them home and bring them back.
Right.
But we're just not there where we are. Exactly. So I'm a less paper guy, but I'm not paperless.
But I still think it's important in the elementary, the elementary classroom.
All right. So we're going to save two boos. There we go.
You can't change what's your opinion?
Well, my opinion, I would give it a boo. I think that the word paperless classrooms is kind of like when people use like flex seating or whatever. I think that the if you were going for a paperless classroom, if that's the reason you're using technology, I think it's the wrong reason, right?
Right, that's a good point.
So it's just kind of like, it's fine if you want to use less paper. Like that's a great reason, but... It shouldn't be the reason that you're going with tech, because I know that there are people that are sharing things like, here's what my second graders are doing with Google Docs. And it's kind of like, is that really appropriate for second grade? Maybe, but maybe not. It all depends on why you're using it. And, you know, that kind of, all right.
So paperless classroom, triple boo.
Yeah, I would say we're probably a triple boo, although we do love less worksheets is always a good thing, right?
Yes.
Okay, here's the next one. This one. Oh, man, this is my wife, if she was here. I know she would disagree with me. The next one is cursive. Mm. Mike Brown.
I would love to know.
Gloria, you know.
We teach cursive in our school. I would love to know if the majority of schools still teach it.
This is a perfect time for somebody to call in and talk about what they think, whether cursive is a boo or yay.
Yeah, it's kind of a hot button.
Michael, you're sorta. First.
I hear a lot of people say, well, you guys don't even teach cursive anymore. Yeah, we do. We still teach cursive.
We do.
Yeah. We don't spend a ton of time on it, but we teach the kids how to form their letters and write some words in it and whatever. So that they can read the cursive if they come across it. But as far as I go, I'm a boo. Okay. I just don't think cursive is that important. With the amount of technology these children are going to use in their future, they need to be able to write some words in print or in cursive, whatever. But I don't think it has to be one or the other. So I'm a boo on it. I don't I don't think it's really net necessary of a skill to teach anymore.
Okay, Marie, how are you? How do you feel?
Well, nobody let me be in the middle. I'm going to say yay, but hear me out.
All right.
I don't think it is the most I'm trying to keep this show controversial, grumpy.
Go right ahead, Ms. Larson. We're listening.
I only say yay. I don't think cursive is the end-all be-all, and I don't think it's something that you should spend a ton of time on. But I do think when my kids do cursive, it's almost like doing art for them. It's very meditative. They like doing it. It makes them feel grown up. But also, I have had probably 3 or 4 kids in the past few years who cannot print but can write in cursive and feel successful as writers.
Interesting. Well, and I hear from both of you guys, I know you don't want to be in the middle, but both of you guys kind of were in the middle still, where it's like you don't want to do too much because the juice isn't really worth the squeeze, right? Like you spend months and months teaching cursive, then they just use it to write their name on a check, or they won't even have checks.
Right. I'm talking about. Around, right.
But yeah, maybe they're writing a letter to grandma. I don't know when you'd use cursive, honestly. But but I use it sometimes, right?
Sounds like
Yeah. But yeah, it's kind of like both you guys are saying, like, yeah, we do it. It can be good, but overall, it's not something that's totally necessary. All right, now, Mike, you get to read the next one there, and Marie and I will. How about that? Go ahead.
All right. Reading textbooks on devices.
Oh,
so e-books.
So this
as
would be
textbooks.
E-books. So this, I guess, for younger kids,
is this
would be
textbooks
more,
or is this any e-book?
I'd say any e-book. Let's go there.
Is this like using like a Raz Kids or an Epic or a?
Yeah, but it could like, be any e-book. If they're older kids, they might be using iBooks. A bit, basically, any reading on device rather than paper books. Would you give that a boo or a yeah? I know this is a tough one, isn't it?
Man, these are tough.
Yeah,
controversial.
You want me to start on this one?
I'm gonna just process it.
So,
for a second.
I'm gonna give it a booyah. I don't know.
You cannot.
I'm gonna give it a yay, but with conditions. How about that? So again, when I'm in the middle. I'm sorry,
in
but
the middle. Boy,
so
we are wishy washy.
Here's the thing. Let me start with my problems with digital reading. My problems with it is when a child gets a device in their hands, there is immediately endorphins or whatever you want to call it that happens when a child has a device, right? So they're immediately, their brain is going to like excitement and apps and games sometimes just because of how they might use that device at home. And so I would say for me, the yay would come if they're explicitly taught how to use ebooks, right? Like the same way when they were in kindergarten, they were told like, hold the book like this. Here's how we read a book. Like maybe our kids need to be really taught, like when you read an ebook, here's how you do it. Because I know for me, like a lot of times if I'm doing something online, I'm so distractible and I go check my email. I do this and that.
Yeah,
I know, it's surprising. But I think that can be a real pitfall for kids where reading needs to be something they are really focused, right? Mm-hmm. Right, Marie, what do you think? So I'm sorry, I gave it a booyah. I don't know.
I kind of want to give it a yay boo.
Okay,
all right.
No, I think there is for sure a time and a place for ebooks, and I think that is another, it's just another tool, right? It's something that we can teach kids to use. It's something that they will use through adulthood. I do think sometimes when you put them on a device, like for some kids there who are not engaged in a paper book, sometimes that does it for them.
For sure.
But then it also can be, you know, that double-edged sword where
they're playing
around on it, or they're not truly reading it. So I do think there's a place for it, but I do think you need both.
Yeah, big time. And I mean, part of it, we've sung the praises of Epic and some other things like that because there's so much variety.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing, you just cannot
be. It's great for references.
It is.
If you're doing nonfiction work.
Yeah. And I mean, the differences from school to school of how much the budget allows for new books in your classroom is so wide that this kind of can be a game changer where you have a free library. So that's nice.
And that's true. Like we were reading Mercy Watson, and I have like maybe 5 of them in my room, that series.
Yeah.
But on Epic, there's all of them.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, I don't have the money to go buy all these books, but here's a free resource that has them.
All right.
And that's why I'm a yay on that. And that's because of that ability to have an endless supply of books in your classroom or at home for that.
Yeah.
I mean,
we have
thousands and thousands of books in our classroom library, but kids don't have access to thousands and thousands of books at level at home, but they could through their device. Yes. And I agree with you. They have to be taught how to use it.
Yeah.
Just like in kindergarten, they have to be taught how to open a book the right way, turn the pages, blah, 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 all the stuff they do, or preschool or whenever they start learning that. Same thing with an ebook. But once they learn how to use it appropriately, I think the it's a phenomenal resource for kids.
Okay. All right, Marie, you want to read the next one? All right.
Is this our last one?
Well, I think this might have to be it. Let's do that one right there. What do you think? You read it.
Okay, this next one is teachers sharing via social media.
A class Twitter account,
Class Facebook, class
Facebook,
Twitter,
Instagram.
Is it a boo or a yay? Do you want to start this one, Mike? You want me to start it, or
I'll start it.
Okay, go ahead. What do you think?
Man, this is a toughie because.
Hold on, Mike's like, hold on, let me recreate this. I'll start. Hold on.
This is tough.
Right, go ahead.
I'm gonna say I was always a yay, but I think I'm more of a boo.
Okay,
a boo.
And
yay?
The reason why is because it's become social media in general has become such a soundbox for negativity in our country,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and probably worldwide, I would assume too. And so I hate putting myself or my students out there. And where they have the opportunity to be treated negatively. And
okay, good point.
So we use, you know, you can share the same things you would share. The purpose is to share with your parents, right? I mean, you could be bragging about what you're doing in your classroom to other people in the world. But the reality of it is I like to share what my kids are doing with my parents. And I can do that safely through Seesaw where I have control over the comments. And if something does come through negatively, my kids will never see it. But if it goes out onto the web through Facebook or through Twitter, I don't have a lot of control over that. And so that's why I'm more of a boo on this one.
All right. And actually, I was going to say boo, too, just because, like, what you were saying, the scope of it.
It
like,
used to be better, but it's not anymore.
Yeah.
So
it's like, well, who are you sharing with and why? If it's just, like, a braggy moment and you're just saying, look what we do, like, that should be for parents because they're the ones who actually care.
Right.
But, yeah. So I think I'm a boo on that, too, although I do love it. Or sharing with other teachers. I think it's
purposeful
there, but I think as far as just taking pictures of your kids and sharing it, not as much as it was a while ago.
I also think there is one, if you have one, there's also like the pressure to keep up with
That's the other piece.
That sounds kind of silly, but like, did I tweet this? How many times should I tweet?
Because right now we're sending stuff home on Seesaw through email. Maybe we're tweeting it. Maybe we're putting it on our Facebook page.
And like less is more.
We're tagging our school in it so our school can tweet it and blah, blah, blah. There's so some people are using Instagram. There's so many. Exactly. How do you keep up with it all? Yeah. Plus do your daily job.
But we're fortunate and we use Seesaw. So to me, like that is like the safest type
it
of
is.
Social media.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But you know, for other schools who maybe that's how they connect.
Well,
I think it depends.
And one of my child's teachers uses Class Dojo. Similar, right? A way to share. All right. Well, cool. We'll leave off the really hot button issues. We'll just stick with
for
those.
For next time?
Oh, yeah. I'll get
some.
We
can do a round two.
Tune in again, listeners. Right.
I'll be like, tuna fish sandwiches. Go! No.
Or yay, not boo. I love tuna fish sandwiches.
Oh, by the way, could we have our kids, one way we could use Instagram, could our kids take pictures of their lunches? Right? Because people all the time taking pictures of their food on social media.
Yes.
That would be a way to teach them how to use social media. Be like, no. Don't do things that matter on social media. Take pictures
of
your food.
Arrange those carrots in a more pleasing manner before you take your photo.
Do you know what I heard? I heard this, and I'm sorry to go off tangent here. That I was listening to a show.
It's crazy.
And they were.
I was like, we could have a whole podcast called Teachers Talking Tech Tangents, where it's just all the extra material that gets edited out.
Yeah. So listen to this. Speaking of like social media. There was a person that was talking about selfies, and they did a study, and they found that teenagers take an average of something like 30 selfies before they post the one they're going to post.
Really?
How crazy is that? Like, what are these kids thinking on those first 29 pictures about their self-image, right? Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, that's nuts.
Oh, so there's another boo for social media,
for
right?
Yay.
Boo. Well,
selfies, boo or yay.
Yeah, selfies, boo or yay. Well, if it's me, it's a yay. There you go. No.
But if it's you, it's a boo.
All right.
I never look good in selfies.
Well, listen, it's all about holding the camera up high.
It's my
right?
three chins.
Get
that,
someone
get in the
to
way.
Teach you, sounds like.
That's right. And then there's Facetune where it just like makes your face like, I don't know even what it does, right? But
soft
it like clears your skin
strained.
And it puts a sparkle on your face. I don't know. Anyway. All right. Now we're really off. So thanks for listening. Hey, listen, we want to hear from you. Please send
the voicemail
in.
Was awesome.
Isn't
that was
cool?
Awesome.
Yes.
We want to hear from more
of you.
Yep. And you don't even have to be all the way from Rio. You could just be from like Duluth or like Indiana or anywhere. But we want to hear from you. So That's the end. Thank you for listening to Teachers Talking Tech. This has been Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
And Marie Larson.
All right, see ya.